Thank you for listening to the Vine Street Baptist Church podcast. Vine Street Baptist Church exists to love God, serve people, and make disciples. We'd love for you to join us at one of our weekly worship services on Sunday mornings at 10:45. We're located at 960 Vine Street in Louisville, Kentucky. For more information about Vine Street, please check out our website, vinestreetbaptist.org, where you can learn more about our leadership team, activities and events, and get directions to the building. Here's this week's message.
As you have noted, we now have a singing pastor who's actually not going to be preaching today because we have asked our longtime and dear former church member, Nathan Rader, to come back and speak to us today. Nathan recently graduated from Boyce College and is still taking some online classes back home. He drove from Jackson County, Greyhawk, 2.5-ish hours to be with us today. So we've heard him before. If you're new to Nathan, prepare to hear God's word in a meaningful and deep way. Nathan, if you'll come on up, please.
Thank you, Chandler, and thank you all for welcoming me back. It's good to be back and see some familiar faces. This church holds a special place in my heart, as it does you all too, I'm sure. Would you join me in prayer? God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come into your house to worship you, for the honor to hear your word, to study your word, hear it proclaimed. God, I pray that you, that your spirit would have free reign in this building. I pray that it would move about and your word would heal those who hear it. I pray that if there's any here that are lost, Lord, that do not know you, that have not made that decision to make you your Lord, make you their Lord, that make you their Savior, that your spirit would work in their hearts and reveal to them the truth of your gospel, but that you would hide me behind the cross, guard my feeble lips from any error, and that this would be glorifying unto you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me to Job chapter 9. That's our sermon scripture. Job chapter 9. We're going to focus on a few key verses at the end of this chapter, but for context, I'm going to be reading all of it. I'll wait for everybody to be ready. I'll be reading from the New King James Version as well. Job chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "Truly, I know it is so, but how can a man be righteous before God? If one wished to contend with him, he could not answer him one time out of 1,000. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened himself against him and prospered? He removes the mountains, and they do not know, when he overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth out of its place, and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun, and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the Bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. He does great things past finding out, yes, wonders without number. If he goes by me, I do not see him. If he moves past, I do not perceive him. If he takes away, who can hinder him? Who can say to him, 'What are you doing?' God will not withdraw his anger. The allies of the proud lie prostrate beneath him. How then can I answer him and choose my words to reason with him? For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. If I called and he answered me, I would not believe that he was listening to my voice. for he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not allow me to catch my breath, but fills me with bitterness. If it is a matter of strength, indeed he is strong. And if of justice, who will appoint my day in court? Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse. I am blameless, yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. It is all one thing. Therefore I say, he destroys the blameless and the wicked. If the scourge slays suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. If it is not he, who else could it be? Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will put off my sad face and wear a smile, I am afraid of all my sufferings. I know that you will not hold me innocent. If I am condemned, why then do I labor in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and cleanse my hands with soap, yet you will plunge me into the pit and my own clothes will abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. His words there at the end just about break me. There is no mediator. It is debated and contended about whether or not Job is the earliest written book of the Bible, being written before the books of Moses, including Genesis, or around that time or after, but obviously not preceding them canonically. Job was alive after some of the major events of Genesis, but who knows when, really? The point is, Job and the events recorded in the book named after him was around and occurred a very long time ago. Job 9 is some of the words Job is recorded as saying after some very tragic things happened to him. To summarize the earliest chapters, Job, a very wealthy and prosperous man, had lost it all. As far as it comes to anything that could be considered valuable by this world. His wealth, his children, his health, and even his reputation were all gone. He is alone in the dark, and Satan just keeps taking swings at him. We as the readers of the book are on the other side of it, so we are able to see how the devil is moving against Job and destroying his life, if you know the story. The life that he worked so hard to enjoy. But Job does not see that from our perspective while he's in the middle of it. And his friends are of no aid to him. Because of their company and ill-timed worldly wisdom, he thinks that God is the one causing all of this destruction in his life. His friends are wondering what awful thing he must have done to deserve such calamity from God. But Job knows he has done no such great evil to warrant this suffering, leading Job to believe God is against him for no reason, saying in verse 17, he multiplies my wounds without cause. Job is hurt, but especially confused, expressing his desire to speak with God, to plead his case, to ask why all this has happened to him. But in his words paraphrased, who can answer God? Who can contend with the judge of all the earth? Even if he were righteous, how can he argue his case? For God is not a man like he is that he can just go with him to court. and there is no mediator, no lawyer to negotiate between him and God. Even if God answered Job back, Job says he would not believe he was listening to his voice. Something had occurred long ago that was making it very hard for Job to get a clear idea of what was going on so that he would not be so downtrodden. Something made this so much worse than it actually was. Because something was separating Job from God. He had all the questions and was unconsolable, and God had all the answers. But he was separated from God. He could not go to God. Because at the beginning in the garden, man sinned and had been sinning ever since. And it created a barrier between God and man. Because God is holy, and we are not. No matter how hard we try. Job had made sacrifice after sacrifice for himself and his family, and done all he could to be a righteous man. But guess what? Even after all that many years of devotion and effort, he still could not go and appear before God. Evil had come upon Job to destroy him, and sin separated him from his Redeemer, causing him to believe the lie that God is out to get me, bringing destruction without cause. To understand just how separated we are by sin, it would be a good idea to read some of the commands given to priests in Leviticus to make atonement. God instructs Moses to instruct Aaron in Leviticus 16 how to make atonement for himself and Israel. Aaron, or the high priest, could not just come into the room with the altar at any time. They had to wait for a certain day and make all this preparation, and a huge curtain veiled the room to keep anyone from going inside or seeing within. Then he had to cleanse himself with water and wear all these special clothes just to get in the room. Then he had to make a sacrifice, a sin offering for himself, so he was cleansed before he could even try to make a sacrifice for the rest of the nation. Then he had to burn incense and bring it behind the veil so that the mercy seat would be obscured by the smoke, and do all these other meticulous things before he finally made a sin offering for the people. Job didn't even have that. There was no priest for him to make a sin offering. He was making sin offerings for himself and his family. Sometimes, just in case, he would do one so that if anyone in his family had sinned without him knowing, they would be atoned for. It evidently was before the time of priests, before the Exodus. He was doing everything he could to be right with God. And when things got real bad, it was clear all that's not enough. He needed something else, a mediator. Job did not have the Bible, or the Scriptures, or the Holy Spirit, or the knowledge of a Savior as you and I. But he still held fast to his faith, as you can find out by reading the rest of the book. However, when you read chapters like this, you can see his anguish and his suffering and hear the turmoil in his words. I hope it helps us understand how blessed we are. Do you relate to some of the things Job was saying this morning? Do you say, "He moves by, but I do not see him"? Do you say, "How can I answer him"? Are you unable to believe that he would listen were you to call out to him? That he is crushing you, holding you underwater so that you cannot catch your breath? Do you despise your life because of the suffering you've endured? Job, like so many we read about in the Bible, was suffering greatly. Like so many of us, he was suffering. And he knew what he needed, what he wanted. He wanted a mediator, a middleman, so that he could speak to God. Someone to speak to God on his behalf. Someone to stand in between him and help him beg for mercy from his judge. Someone to bridge the great divide between God and man. Do you see where I'm headed at this morning yet? In Job chapter 9, verses 32 through 33, Job says, speaking about God, "For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, that we should go to court together, nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both." In the English Standard Version, it says, "There is no arbiter between us." An arbiter, defined, is a person who settles a dispute or has ultimate authority in the matter, a lawyer. The good news for us today is that there is an arbiter between us and God. There is a mediator available who can stand before God on our behalf, before the judge of all creation. Believers, we have a great high priest. The author of Hebrews explains to us how this was accomplished. And we see within the text how Job's ages-long prayer has been answered. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God, in the person of the Son, Jesus Christ, had become man and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, so that we could have a high priest, a mediator, to make a sin offering for us on our behalf. Someone qualified to represent God and man. Job was right. We need someone to stand for us when we are presented guilty before a judge, especially when that judge is God. I had a friend in college who was pulled over for speeding and had a court date. He appeared at court, and they asked him who would be representing him. He answered, "Myself." He, a 20-something-year-old college-age individual, was going to try and represent himself before the judge. He obviously was strongly advised against this, and they even urged him to go seek a lawyer. It was not a good idea. He needed someone to speak to the judge on his behalf so he didn't wind up worse off than he already was, trying to do something that he had no idea how to do, had no business trying to do. Friends, lost person, you do not want to be representing yourself when your sins are called into question before Almighty God on the day you finally meet him. You need an advocate. You need a mediator. We need a mediator. I saw a video the other week of a couple being prepared for arrest by a police officer. It was his body cam footage. They had been shoplifting and using their child in the stroller to hide the items they left in the store. They had thieves from the store. They were going to be tried and charged with robbery and child endangerment, since they'd used the child to commit the crimes. And they were pleading with the officer The man pled, please, it was my idea. Don't take her, she didn't know. It was all me. But the officer refuted. We have you both on surveillance camera, stealing. You cannot argue that. The thief continued, I'm sorry. Take all the stuff back. I'll pay for it all. Just take it back in the store. Here, please. But that's not how this works, the officer replied. You stole. You cannot just say, I'm sorry, and walk off. It's against the law. In other words, you must go before the judge. Your argument is not valid. Someday, when you and I die, we're going to stand before God and have to answer for everything we've ever done. It doesn't matter if we want to or not, because we've all done evil in His eyes, and justice must be dispensed. When the Creator, the source of all beauty and goodness, the embodiment of compassion and truth, looks down at you before Him, and He says, why did you not love me with your whole heart? Why did you not follow me? Why did you do what I say is wrong? Why did you hurt my children with your words? Why did you hold hate in your heart for your brother? Why did you lie, cheat, and steal? Why did you love sin more than me? More than food, more than sleep? Are you seriously going to expect to have an answer for Him? As Job asked, how can a man be righteous before God? How can anyone answer Him? You better be able to call Jesus friend in that moment. If I cannot lay hold of Him there, there is no hope for me. I know what I've done. If I cannot claim to be washed in the blood, then justice is my only option. If the hell, the wrath that was unleashed on Him was not enough to pay for all that I've done, it's hopeless. Jesus either paid it all or it's all over. When it's time to face the judge, will the mediator know you? Has atonement been made by the high priest, the Savior on your behalf? Or are you going to be just a stranger, having to face Him like everyone else for judgment, for your iniquity? You find yourself like Job in this chapter this morning, like I asked earlier, either an unbeliever or a believer, seeking relief from the troubles of life. That mediator that Job wished he had stands ready to help you. Believer, you may be weary and hurting, unable to see the joys in life currently. Maybe as that song goes, the sun shines, but you see nothing at all. Don't let that sorrow convince you that God is not near to you. That judge, because of Christ, is your Father, loves you. Don't be convinced that He cannot hear your prayers or that He is against you. Listen and understand. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters in the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. As I hear one of my church brothers keep reiterating to me back home on Wednesday night Bible studies, our feelings don't dictate our relationship with God. You may feel like God cannot, does not, will not hear you or help you. to the point that you feel like your prayers are pointless, so you just mope and hurt all night and day. But feelings do not change truth. Jesus intercedes and makes atonement for us as our great high priest, and does so forever, making a sacrifice once for all and taking his seat at the right hand of God the Father. In other words, it is finished. The separation that existed since the fall of man in the garden has been removed by his work. And we can once again communicate in fellowship and love with God. Make our petitions known through him. What a friend we have in Jesus, who took the judgment for us and pleads our case before the Father. A friend who knows and cherishes us. He stretched out his hand and laid hold of us and reached beyond that veil that we talked about earlier and holds on to the Father. Our anchor holds within the veil. That was the significance of mentioning the meticulous steps to make atonement in Leviticus. Jesus paid that sin debt and used himself as that offering, atoning to perfection those who would believe forever before God. That's why the veil of the temple, when he died, was torn in two from top to bottom. God ripped it in half to demonstrate there was nothing now that could separate man from him. And his righteousness would soon be poured out like rain, watering those who by the Spirit would believe. So hold on to that truth, believer. Hold on to that anchor that never moves in the midst of the storm. He will not let go of you, regardless of how you feel. Take advantage of that promise. Go boldly before the throne. You can speak with your Lord as Job wished he could. Lost person, can we come to an agreement that you are not on good terms with God if you don't have a relationship with Jesus? If you do not have a mediator? Do you understand that there is a day coming when you have to face your Maker? And it's coming fast. I would ask you, what hope do you pretend to have before Him? How can a man give an account to God and dispute His righteousness to Him? You have an answer to all your problems right here, right now. Will you turn and come after Him? The mediator between God and man offers you aid now and forever if you will repent of your sins and believe. There is an arbiter today who will pay your debt and argue on your behalf before Almighty God. There can be no better lawyer, but he's also the only one available before the true judge. Will you accept his offer today? If there's still breath in your lungs, you've truly heard the gospel of truth, something of the highest value is offered to you. The Son of God's righteousness and life offered to God on your behalf as payment for the price you cannot possibly pay. If you would only declare him your Lord and ask him to save you. Do not walk away from God. Do not harden your heart while that offer stands. It is too good to walk away from. Come to the altar. Receive forgiveness. Understand what grace is ready to be lavished on you, poured out upon you. What price can you put on unmerited favor with God? I hope I was able to communicate the great advantage we have in knowing Jesus, that we are able to see the perilous emotional turmoil of someone like Job being faced with all the problems he had. He hurt and he longed for a way to speak to God, to come before him, Later on in the book, God answers him. But we on this side of history get to see Job's Redeemer, his mediator that he spoke of, and enjoy that relationship with him. Because of his triumphant work, we can once again fellowship with God. And how wonderful is that? There are people out in the world who are going through terrible things, just like Job was, who are lost in the dark, wishing for a drop of hope. Go and tell them about the middleman you know, about the all-sufficient Savior who never lets you go. Church, the harvest is plentiful. Don't let the laborers be few. I was made aware of an outreach event today that you all are having. Be praying for that. What a blessed opportunity to go out and possibly meet somebody who is looking for a way to come before God. Don't let the laborers be few. Take a look at what God is doing in the lives of so many. Love somebody like Jesus this week. I'll close in prayer. God, thank you for being our Savior, of taking on flesh and coming down and living for us and dying for us and standing before the Lord of all the earth on our behalf, taking the punishment we deserve so that we can enjoy fellowship with our Creator. I pray that your message is not lost on us, that it helps us throughout this week. I pray that we are moved by your gospel to share the love we have for you and your love for us with those we meet every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.